This is The Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 55, How Side Hustlers Can Get More Done in Less Time.
Welcome to The Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to The Side Hustle Show. This is episode 55, How Side Hustlers Can Get More Done in Less Time. My guest is Chandler Bolt. I was going to say Chandler Bing, but that would not be correct. So Chandler reached out to me. We shared an early entrepreneurial venture in selling candy at summer camp, which was a great little business model, but you know, very much limited by how much you could pack in. We actually have quite a bit in common: Eagle Scout, college painting, and all that jazz. So Chandler wrote a book called The Productive Person, and since side hustlers are always pressed for time, I thought it would be a pertinent topic to bring him on the show and chat about productivity and some hacks around that topic. And while we didn't even talk about this during the call, Chandler's a pretty savvy Kindle marketing mind and actually helped me out with the Work Smarter book launch last week and ended up making a couple last-minute changes based on his advice, including the title of the book based on some keyword research. And actually, we cut off the free promo giveaway manually during the middle of the day. And the reason being behind that is that the book is still ranking really highly on a number of free categories, including number one in the business category at that time. And it takes Amazon about 3 hours to update their listings. So rather than letting it cut off automatically at the middle of the night, if you go into your author dashboard and cut it off in the middle of the day, can capture a higher percentage of traffic numbers. And even if people are looking for free books and they say, well, hey, if it's 99 cents, that's practically free, I'll go ahead and buy it. And ended up selling quite a few copies that way. Never would have thought of that. So I think it made a great impact. So thank you for that, Chandler. And actually, now he and his co-author are putting a handful of free book marketing webinars if you are interested in checking that stuff out, if you're into the whole Kindle game. So I'll link to that in the details for the show notes on this episode at sidehustlenation.com/episode55. And thanks so much for your support of the book launch. Ended up giving away more than 20,000 free copies. If you got yours and you found it useful, please be sure to drop in a review on Amazon. That's a huge help to keep the momentum going. And the link to get that done or grab a copy if you want to check it out is worksmarter.co, worksmarter.co. And with that, let's get into it. Hey, Chandler, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
What's up, Nick? How's it going, man?
Doing excellent. So everybody, Chandler's an entrepreneur, a speaker, and we've actually got quite a bit in common. Now, we're excited to find out. We're both Eagle Scouts, and we both did the whole college painting thing. But for the topic of today's show, he's the author of The Productive Person, theproductiveperson.com, which I'm going to call a young hustler's guide to getting it done. Is that an accurate statement?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's why I love her while we're doing this interview, Nick, because it really is. It was kind of born out of our side hustle. And how do you be more productive when you've kind of got your main gig, and in our case, which was school and like heavy time constraints. So how do you really grow your business, and what are like some productivity hacks and tips and tricks and just like ways to get more done so that you can kind of pursue what you want to do. So I think that's fair.
I like it. I think that's going to be perfect for this audience. Hey, we're working, we're busy. There's only so many hours in the day. Help us out. What can we do? Well, like what would be the first step for somebody to try and like get started with productivity hacking or something?
I think it's kind of forced for most people because of such a time constraint. So if you're one of those just crazy people that are trying to start a business on the side, there's kind of a demand on your time, you know, whether it be from your job or from your kids and your job or from school or whatever it is, you know, it's almost kind of forced, like forced innovation and forced like productivity hacking because you're doing so much. At least that's the way it was for me. I think a lot of your listeners will probably relate. As you know that you have so much stuff to get done and only so little time to get it done in. So that's where we come into play, is we really try to just distill all this information that's out there. I mean, because it's just information overload. And so we really try to just distill it down and help people with hey, this is exactly what we've tried. This is exactly how it worked for us. This is how you can use it. Kind of just Because if you're looking to be more productive, you don't exactly have a lot of time to read and learn about being more productive.
Exactly. I'm one step forward, two steps back on that one. No, I can relate to that. During school, like, my best quarters academically were also the ones where I had, you know, the most credit hours and the most work hours, you know, off campus. And so there's something, you know, that there's that force pressure of like, hey, if you have to be good about managing your time, it kind of is out of necessity then, and then you end up getting stuff done. So
yeah.
In the book, you talk about the concept of personal pre-work. Is that a first step for figuring out kind of your mapping out your day, or how do you go about it?
Yeah. So when we talk about personal pre-work, this is what I think is one of the most important things for entrepreneurs and for anyone who's kind of on their side hustle grind. I mean, and what it really starts with is kind of your inner values, your personal values, and things that are important. One of the biggest things I think is we talk about going through your top three decision-making factors. So a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we struggle with saying yes to a lot of things, or we struggle with not knowing which opportunities to take. And so what we do is we walk you through like kind of your top three decision-making factors. So what is that for you? And 'cause once you have these three, so it's like, say you have something really cool that you're doing, but then another opportunity comes up and you're struggling with whether or not to say yes or no to that. And you're struggling with that decision. It's like maybe your side hustle business has gotten so big that you're kind of struggling with the decision of, do I want to quit my job? Or maybe it's on a smaller scale.
Yeah, that's a good problem. That's a good problem to have. What would be an example of the decision-making factor or that kind of decision-making question?
Yeah. So like to kind of get the listeners thinking, like when you're thinking about coming up with your own questions, like these like decision-making factors for yourself, like a few of the things we talk about is like, if somebody asks you to do something, why are you for or against it? Or like, why did you decide to take or leave your last job? Or if a new opportunity presents itself, like what's going to make you go for it or back down from it and choose not to take it, which normally that's where the confusion comes in. But once you decide on these top three decision-making factors, it really helps. So I'll give you an example like of mine. So my first one is, will this push me towards my purpose? So is this going to help me grow and push me towards where I want to go? Number two for me is this a choice for personal growth instead of just chasing money? So like if it's just a short-term money opportunity, I'm not going to take it. But if it's going to grow me and grow my knowledge, then yes, I'll take it. And then the third one for me is, am I being a yes man? So that kind of is like what I was talking about just a second ago with a lot of times entrepreneurs are yes men or yes women. Is am I just saying yes to be nice, or am I saying yes to too many things? So those are my top three. And once you kind of figure out those top three for yourself, it makes decisions a lot more cut and dry and a lot easier. Like that struggle is a lot less.
Okay. So this is kind of like, you know, start with why your bigger picture, your bigger picture goals or purpose, like you said, what will this push me toward my purpose? Like, I'm not going to waste time pursuing some project I don't necessarily care about.
Exactly.
Okay. When in that kind of brings up, I was reading something the other day talking about like urgent versus important. And it was, I think it was in relation to email. Like, email is urgent because it's like, you know, we've been trained to like, oh, you know, I saw the little ticker on my, you know, count go up. I better check my email. And it's, you know, it's urgent because it's like pressing and it's timely and it's right there, but it's not necessarily, important. Because it's like, does that really require your immediate attention or your immediate response? Like, remember back in the day when you used to like dial up, you're too young for this, for AOL, and be like, you've got mail. And it was like an event, and you log in like once a day and check your email, like, or once every week even, you know. It was not like a, you know, constantly on kind of thing.
Yeah. It's totally, totally true. And that's kind of like with, it's once you start with that why, like your decisions are a lot easier, and it kind of eliminates that little bit of struggle that you were just talking about.
So one thing for side hustlers is, hey, we may find ourselves with this, you know, 15-minute block of time, this half-hour block of time in the morning before work or in the evenings after work, maybe even on our lunch break. And one of the concepts we've talked about productivity-wise on this show before is the idea of like doing your homework, doing your prep work to make sure you know as soon as that block of time opens up, you know exactly what you're going to do when you see that window of 15 minutes to get done. Is there something that you have a term for this or a recommendation for doing this?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. So one tool that I would recommend like your audience to check out that really works well for me is it's called AnyDo, and it's AnyDo, and it's an app. It's totally free. And what it does is it's kind of like a to-do list app. So like, you've probably heard of that. I'm sure some of your audience has one. But what I really like about this is it's super simple. You put your to-dos into categories. So that's really helpful for the side hustler, because like say you have like a book project and you have like your everyday business and something else, like you have all these things you have to keep track of. So you can categorize your to-dos. And so if you have your side business as one of those headings, throughout the day, if you think of things that need to get done or if something gets dumped on your plate, whatever, you just put that into AnyDo. And then so when you have that 15-minute block, you can go. And rather than saying, oh, awesome, I have 15 minutes, what am I going to do? And then you spend 5 to 10 minutes figuring out what to do. And then you're like, oh, well, I only have 5 minutes. Like, I can't do anything now. Like, instead of doing that, you just go straight to your to-do list of things that you actually like thought of or things that were assigned to you earlier in the day, and you can just knock out a couple of them in the 15-minute block. So when that time comes, it helps you be a lot more prepared and know what to do with it.
Yeah, that's the worst. You sit there and you're like, you spend the first 15 minutes of your block of time like trying to figure out what you're going to work on. Like, oh, what a waste. what do you think about like the other, you know, there's some productivity gurus out there that say the secret, you know, regardless of if you're an early riser or not, is just to get up early. Like, hey, it's going to be your best time for thinking, your best time to get this stuff done. The rest of the family's going to be asleep. You know, you just need to get up at 4 or 5 and crank some stuff out.
That's tough because some people, they're not morning people and they don't want to get up, and just getting up early just sounds horrible. So I think it's kind of finding a mix for, it's kind of up to the individual. I mean, some people kind of go crazy with it and they get up at 3, 4, 5 in the morning. That's not me, but like, I definitely, that's not me, but I think it is important. So there's one thing we do know is, you know, your willpower is the strongest in the beginning of the day, and you have the most willpower. You're the most sharp when you wake up. So if you're on your side hustle grind and you're going straight to your job in the morning, you know, that you're not necessarily spending your time on what could be growing your business, you know, growing your side, the thing you're working on the side. So what I recommend is just spending your first, and this is not revolutionary, like I'm sure you've probably heard of this before, but it's kind of like just spending your first hour totally in proactive mode. So proactively working on your business in the morning. So whether that means you have to wake up at 5, 7, 9, whatever it is, just get up a little early so that you can actually spend some time on your business in the morning. And that's really helpful because you can get some positive momentum. Because if you wait till the end of the day, you come home from work, whatever it is, you're going to be a lot less inclined to do it and you're going to be less productive.
I really like that. Your willpower is strongest earlier in the day. Are you giving that time to your boss or are you giving that time to your own business? I think that's really, really powerful. Do you have any systems you like a GTD or a Pomodoro or something that you tend to work by?
I don't have anything like hard and fast. It's tough. Like I do Pomodoro sometimes. You know, we talk about like the 50-10 that works for some people, which that's basically just like working for 50 minutes and then taking 10 minutes to like catch up on emails, calls, social media, whatever.
Okay.
That works well for some people. One thing I'm all about just uninterrupted action. So like when I'm on. And so when I'm really cranking on stuff, I really try to turn off notifications, turn my phone on do not disturb, try not to look at my email. Like I really try to get in the zone. And 'cause when I'm doing that, I'm working way more efficiently. And normally I'm not missing anything that's just like crazy urgent. If it's urgent, they can usually get a hold of me. But I like doing uninterrupted action. And then another thing that's really helped me, and it's really helped a lot of our students that we work with, is just having some sort of solid morning routine. Like, I know when you say that word, like, a lot of people just cringe. They're like, oh, that sounds awful. I don't want a morning routine. Like, I'm not a boring person. Like, you know, but it really, really helps. Like, what we recommend is always just starting small. So maybe it's something easy, but just creating the habit. Because once you have the habit of a morning routine, you can always build on it. And just, especially if you're a side hustler who's trying to get some work done in the morning, it's really going to help if you have a little morning routine, because that's like your trigger. Like, if you've read The Power of Habit, you've heard of like a trigger and then a reward. So that's like your trigger, is when you get some stuff done, you create a little morning routine that gets you some wins, gets you some victories under your belt. And now you're already feeling positive and feeling good before you even start on your first hour of work, which just really, really helps.
I'm like the worst person at this. I've tried like every different email, like hacking system or whatever, and I still like will open that stupid tab like first thing in the morning, and I'll wake and I'll go through like, you know, an hour and a half later. I'm like, what just happened? Like, I've been like, I don't know. And then for the days that I don't, like, I'm really good about it, I don't open until like 9 or something, I'm like, oh, I'm crushing it today. I feel amazing. Yeah. Like, I'm getting all this stuff done, and it's really good. Now, the challenge is, like, if you're waiting on stuff to come in from overseas, like from India, from the Philippines, yeah, like overnight, and you're kind of depending on that to churn out some work. But no, I like that, though.
I like what you said there, because the one thing we talk about is, like, so proactive versus reactive mode. And so this is especially helpful for side hustlers out there, is if, like, what are you going into first? If it's your job, or if you're like most people, you're going into reactive mode. So you roll over in bed, you start looking at your texts, your Twitter, your Facebook, your email, everything, you're reacting. So like you said, what ends up happening is you snap out of it an hour and a half later, and it's time to go to work, or it's you have something, like, you're like, what the heck just happened?
Exactly. Exactly.
You go into total reactive mode. But that's why we are, like, really advocate for this morning routine and for this 1 hour of uninterrupted action. Cause if you start your day that way, it really builds some great momentum for the rest of the day, because then you've got kind of, you cut off those distractions, and by proactively working, like, so for your morning power hour, we talk about, like, what's going to move you forward in your business. Like, what can you proactively work on and get into proactive mode? Cause like you just said, and for most, I found this to be true with most people, is once you get into reactive mode, like, you start your day in reactive mode, whether it's waking up late, getting caught in your inbox, whatever it is, it's really, really tough to flip the switch and move over into proactive mode, like, part of the way through the day. It's just a lot harder because you already kind of feel bad about yourself and about, like, your productivity for the day.
Going back to the power of habit, this habit reward cycle, do you think there's a risk in positioning email or positioning Facebook as the reward, like at the the carrot at the end of the stick?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe, I mean, maybe a little bit, but it's if it helps you get work done, I don't really see too much wrong with it.
Okay. No, I kind of like it, but yeah, I'm wondering, like, what that is psychologically doing to me at the end of the 50-minute cycle, or at the end of my, you know, 25-minute Pomodoro thing or whatever. So, sorry. Another thing you talk about in the book is your is finding your accountability buddy, which I really like this made up word. So how do you go about finding this person who's going to help you hold you accountable?
Yeah. So we talk a little bit about that in the book, about, like, what makes a good accountability buddy. And really, it's finding someone who has similar ambitions. So if you're a side hustler, like, finding someone who's also in your same position, or someone who's maybe one or two steps ahead of you, who's also on that same hustle, and finding someone who's, like, they're pushing you, and they're going to make you better, and they're going to call you out on your BS. They're going to call you out when you're not really working the way you should be. Like, that's really crucial. And if you feel like you're kind of holding together this accountability buddy partnership, like, like if you weren't there, they would crack. And if it's not mutually beneficial, then it's not a good partnership because they're not making you better. They're just kind of draining you, and you're like, they're not holding you accountable. So like when you're trying to make a lot of these changes, when you're trying to hustle on the side, you know, whether it's even something as simple as a morning routine, like if you have an accountability buddy for that, they're going to make sure you're doing it. And they're really going to kind of check in on you. And it's like I said, this is not revolutionary stuff, but it's like going back to, if you want to lose weight, you know, you get a gym partner. It's the same kind of concept.
No, this is really good. This is something that, that worked really well in the college painting things. Like, hey, we call each other up on the way to work. Hey, what's going on? What are you doing today? I've got, you know, 3 estimates and, you know, got to check out my crew out here or whatever's going on. And that kind of fell by the wayside, at least for me, you know, the past few years working in the online marketing business, like, you know, it didn't really have anybody to talk to on a day-to-day basis to make sure I was on the right track. And that's where, you know, in the past really year or so, the power of building this blog and this podcast and building and getting involved in mastermind groups and stuff has really, really helped kind of both you know, hold me accountable and kind of generate some focus and some new ideas. I think that's been really, really valuable.
Yeah. And one more note on that is, so this is how this kind of started with me and accountability buddy. So my original accountability buddy was from Student Painters, and he was my old boss.
Okay.
And I did like pretty well with the program. And then afterwards we stayed in touch. And one thing we did that really helped with us is we had a weekly action doc. So this is a Google doc, and that I would highly recommend that. And what we would do is, so you have on every Sunday, you would fill it out, and it has, okay, like the top tasks you want to get done this week and time sensitive. So when do you want to get it done? So it might be like have an interview done by Tuesday, or, you know, send out 15 emails by Friday, whatever it is. And so you put all those things in, and then every Monday we would have a talk, and that would be talking about what we got accomplished the previous week and holding each other accountable. So going through and having to explain like why you didn't get certain things done or what happened, like, was it a good week, bad week? And then that was the accountability segment. And then if it's someone that's really aggressively trying to get better, like you are, and someone who's really kind of on your same level, what we would do too is every Thursday we would have a talk, and it was a little more informal. And that's where we would get together. And these are both just 30-minute talks. But every Thursday we would get together, and that's where we would share ideas and we would talk about cool things we're doing, and we would check up on our progress so far in the first 3 days of the week. But it was also like, hey, I found this really cool course, or I read this really good book, or you got to check out this. Okay. Like, that was kind of where we would share ideas. But the Monday part really helps, and having that accountability doc is really good, because on Sunday you're super ambitious. You think you can get like 15 bajillion things done that week. But then it's like, it comes down to the end of the week and you're like, man, I actually have to do this stuff because I got to answer to someone on Monday. Like, that really makes it real. And those two things to get, like, so the ambition of your Sunday goals combined with you actually having to answer to them the following Monday, it makes you get a lot more done.
For people who are this is one thing I hear a lot, is like, hey, everyone else thinks I'm crazy. Like, they want to go home and they want to hang out. They want to go to the bar. They want to watch TV, whatever. They don't understand like why I'm working on this business. For people like that who don't necessarily have an accountability buddy candidate in their immediate circle, like any recommendations where they might be able to find somebody?
Yeah, that's such a common problem, because if you're an entrepreneur or if you're – like someone with a side hustle, you're usually a freak. Like, you're the freak in the group. Like, it takes like we would always say when with Student Painters, like it takes a really weird person to want to do this. Like,
yes.
And so it's you really have to go out and search for it. And because they're more than likely, they're not going to be in your hometown. They're, you know, they may not be local. That's the sad reality. Like, you may can find people locally, but maybe not. So just searching and like getting in mastermind groups, finding conferences to go to, like conferences you can really meet some great people. And like, if you're in school, like certain student organizations, like with Student Painters, that was an internship that I did, and I met a ton of like-minded individuals. But you can also seek out conferences and all kinds of stuff where I've really used that and leveraged that to meet people. And then you stay in touch because you find someone who really is operating on your level, and you guys are both hustling at kind of the same amount. And once you find them, you can keep in touch and find a good accountability buddy that way.
Yeah, one interesting tactic that's, I guess, been used against me in a good way was people kind of seeking out who's commenting on the same blogs that they're reading and then reaching out to people those way or that way. So if somebody else is reading the same stuff as you, they're probably, if they could form an intelligent thought in a comment, maybe there's a connection to be made there and they would be interested in being your accountability buddy.
Yeah. And I would say don't be afraid to reach out. Like, even if you're listening to an interview, that might be someone that would be willing to help you. Like, just reach out. There's nothing to lose really there.
Is that an invitation?
Sure.
Talk to me about the concept of the 20-mile march.
Yeah. So if any of your audience has read Built to Last or Good to Great, it's he talks about it in there. And basically 20-mile march is basically taking the big goal that you have, whether it be a year-end goal or, with us with Student Painters is maybe run an $80,000 business or whatever it is, take that and break that down. So to the most basic level, to where that's what your 20-mile march is. What can I do every day to move me closer to my goal? So it's like if you're trying to hit a certain sales goal or trying to do whatever it might be. So you just pull it down to the daily level. So it might be okay, I need to make five sales calls a day. And as long as I do that, I will be moving, I will reach my goals. And so it's kind of removing yourself from the outcome. So if you know that all you have to do, I heard this on a Mixergy interview with Hal Elrod, and he was a Cutco salesman, and he figured out for him, it was five sales calls a day. And so while all these other guys are just freaking out, it's like you're trying to spend every waking hour on your business. He just knew, hey, if I make five sales calls a day, I'll reach my goals. It's as simple as that. So he would make his five sales calls and then go by the pool or do whatever. It's like you kind of remove yourself from the outcome. And because then rather than say you make five calls and all five of them say no, that it's a numbers game and that you're doing your daily duty to move towards your goals. And it all comes from the story that kind of Jim Collins tells in his book there is that there was two groups of people trying to be the first ones to reach the North Pole. And one group would go and do what a lot of entrepreneurs would do, which is when it was sunny, when it was good weather, they would do 20, 30, 40 miles.
Hustle, hustle, they would hustle.
Really just kill themselves. And then when it was windy, when it was bad weather, they would hunker down and wouldn't go anywhere. But the other group said that no matter the weather, every day they were going to do 20 miles. If it was good weather, they would still only do 20 miles. If it was bad weather, they would force themselves to do 20 miles. And the group that did their 20 miles daily is the group that got there and came back alive, while the other group just died trying because they were just exhausted and out of food and everything. So it's, just pulling it down to the most basic thing, which is your daily action that you have to take.
Yeah, I like that, especially with the sales calls. Like, hey, we found out, we broke this down. This is the most, measurable thing and that we can get done every day. I've heard this kind of phrased in terms of writing, I need to pump out my thousand words a day, whatever it is, because that fuels, so much content creation that fuels books and blogs and guest posts and everything else. And so that's something that I'm working on this year and not doing. I won't say I'm 100%, but I'm, making some progress, or at least over the average, I'm doing okay.
Sorry to butt in there. But that can go for anything. Health goals, whatever, like you said, writing, business. Like last year, I joined this accountability group from a conference I went to, and we decided we were going to do 100 push-ups a day. And that was our 20-mile march to get to 36,500 push-ups in a year. Wow. And by breaking it down to a daily thing and adding the accountability, like accountability aspect that we were just talking about, like you can actually reach much bigger things. Like if someone were just to say, hey, do you want to do 36,500 pushups next year? If you're like, what? No way. Like, no, that's not possible. Like, there's no way. But when you break it down and then also add that accountability in there, really helped. Like I ended up doing like 42,000 something last year, like just by breaking it down to that 20-mile march and having some accountability, but like accountability buddies and that accountability aspect.
You made up the word. It's hard to say.
Dude, I can't even say it like two times fast.
I like it. Well, speaking of push-ups, you know, Richard Branson has famously come out and said, hey, my number one productivity tip is exercise. And that's, for me, that's the first thing that gets cut when I'm really busy. It's like, I don't have time to go to the gym. I don't have time to go for a run. Like I'm head down working. What do you think about exercise and its relation to getting work done?
Yeah, well, I think when you said that, like I instantly related to that. And I think probably a lot of your listeners would relate in the same exact way, because it normally is the first thing that gets cut. But what I would, the recommendation I would make there is, like, obviously it's scientifically proven that when you work out, your work is better. Like when you exercise, endorphins are released and mentally you function better. So what I would recommend is just finding whatever that looks like for you. So if you're super busy, just find what it looks like for you. So I'm not a big gym guy. So like the 100 push-ups, the 50 sit-ups, like in the morning, like stuff like that in the morning, for me, that works well. Or doing like an Ab Ripper X or like fast workouts. So for me, it's like Ab Ripper X is 17 minutes. And that's a really ridiculous workout. Like it's really good.
Okay.
But it's only 17 minutes. So you don't have to, like, I've never been a guy who's going to go in the gym for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Like, I just don't have time to do that.
Yeah, who has time for that?
Exactly, right? So it's just kind of finding what works for you. And maybe that's a stand-up desk. Maybe that's, like, I know you talk some about, like, using a stand-up desk with a treadmill. I think that's
love
awesome.
Love it. Should have done it years ago. It's awesome.
Yeah, so stuff like that. Like, you can, like, you're getting your exercise while working, which is, I mean, that's awesome.
So we talked about Great by Choice. We talked about the power of habit. We talked about getting things done. We talked about AnyDo, the app. Any other books or apps or tools that you recommend for people to kind of, other, like you said, there's a certain point where it's like, you know, stop learning and start doing.
Yeah. I guess I got two things here. One app that I really like that's really helped me lately is it's called the 5-Minute Journal. And it's basically, so less than 5 minutes a day, you can journal. And it's on your phone and it sends push notifications in the morning and at night. And it really is just based around making a happier you. So doing, you know, like actually taking a step back, because a lot of times it's someone who's in a side hustle or someone who's just extremely busy. Like we just kind of get caught in all the madness of everyday life and we don't take a step back to look at what's going on. So what it basically does is, so say in the morning, it does three things. So it says, the first one's, what are you grateful for today? So there's, you fill out three things, top three things. Then it's, what would make today great? Three things. And then a daily affirmation. And then at night, so what three amazing things happened today? And then how could I have made the day better? It's like, it's so simple. It literally takes maybe 3 minutes to do, but it really gets you thinking, like, oh, what would make today great? Like what would make today good? Like, you know, kind of what's important to me? How, if only these three things happen, would I be happy at the end of the day? And also has like an inspirational quote in there. It's a really cool app. I really like it. And then I guess the other thing.
No, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, you got to check it out, man. It's $2, like super cheap. I think I live in an entrepreneur house right now, and I think almost the whole house is using it and just loving it. Like went home for Easter, my mom and dad are using it now. Like my brother's using it.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Everyone I've showed it to loves it.
Yeah, I like that. Now I've got a hacked together version of something similar, you know, asks for what did you get done today? What are you grateful for? But you know, maybe I should add in these other questions. Those are pretty good.
Well, it's all kind of like, because there's a lot of stuff like this out there. Like, so they have the 5-minute journal in hardback too. So I had actually bought that and never used it.
Okay.
Because it's the cool thing is they're taking something that's, you know, it's not a change in behavior. You hear about like, if you're starting a business, don't start a business that requires a change in behavior because you'll never sell anything. Because if people have to change behavior to use your product, it's just not good. But so it's, they take something like your phone, which is in your hand all the time, and they just send you a push notification. It's like using something you're already used to using, and it goes with you everywhere. So whereas like a notebook or whatever, like you might forget that, go on vacation, you might forget that
right
throughout the day, but it's on your phone. So it makes it a lot easier to kind of create that habit.
Cool, cool, cool. Sorry, I interrupted. What was the second one you were going to say?
Oh, the second thing, shameless plug. I mean, our book's super cheap on Amazon. It's called The Productive Person. And it's a no BS. Like we kind of cut the fluff. It's super short. Like some people have complained about how short the book is, but we're like, no, that's intentional. Like we kind of take like the best stuff we learn and just distill it. So they can check that out. And we've got like action guides for free and audiobooks and for free and stuff like that. So we're not, it's not like a big money play for us, but we're just trying to help people and entrepreneurs and stuff like that be more productive.
Cool, cool. Check it out. It's The Productive Person on Amazon or theproductiveperson.com for that. So Chandler, if you have only an hour a day to work on your biz, which is, you know, a figure that people have said is a reasonable amount of time for side hustlers, how are you going to spend that time?
Yeah, that's a great question, Nick. I would spend it just like I would spend my power hour, which is what's the most important things that are going to drive my business forward. So kind of that hour a day limitation kind of cuts through the BS and really makes you focus. So like, what's going to move the needle? Is it, and normally what I like, what's a good sign of that is like, what's the thing that makes you the most uncomfortable? That's generally a good marker of what you actually need to be doing. So it might be writing, it might be making sales calls, it might be, you know, whatever it is. But normally what you put off that's actually the most important, because it's kind of uncomfortable and it requires some personal growth.
Yeah, I can attest to that. You know, driving around my territory and painting and, I don't even know what I'm doing. Just driving around these neighborhoods. Oh, this looks like a nice neighborhood. Oh, this looks like it could be. But until you actually get out of the car and knock on, make that first cold call, knock on the door, it's like nothing's actually getting done. But it feels, you know, gives yourself the illusion of doing something productive.
Yeah, you create like this false sense of productivity where you're putting in a lot of time and nothing's getting done because you're just avoiding the most important tasks in your business.
Yeah, it's like even today, like should I write that blog post or should I go out there and sell something? I don't know. Make something happen. All right, Chandler. Thank you so much for coming on. Let's wrap up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Yeah. So I think I got a good one here. And this is, I heard this recently at a conference and it really, really stuck with me. So I'd been at a conference where I heard a ton of stuff. And just like everyday life as an entrepreneur, you hear so many great ideas like, oh, people are killing it with Facebook ads, but oh, like direct mail over here, people are doing PPC, sales funnels are great, like YouTube ads are actually really good too. Like you hear all these amazing ideas and you want to, like what normally happens is, especially like for side hustlers, like why they never create, like why they can never make that their main gig is because we get distracted. We get halfway to the finish line, and then we hear something else that's a good idea. Then we take that halfway to the finish line, and then we keep repeating that process over and over again. And we really never get to the finish line. So, I'll tell you this kind of four-step thing I heard recently, and it's really good. But it really, the premise behind it is, it's about completing the process, not perfecting the product. If you take that thing to the finish point as opposed to trying to perfect it and never finishing, you're actually going to learn way more. And in your screw ups, like you'll learn a lot more. So you can relate this to kind of student painters and like what me and you both did is we're not going to perfect the product. We're not going to perfect like we're not doing the perfect business, but we are going to complete the process. So we are going to take 7 months and really hustle, and we'll see what happens. But so I'm hearing all these good ideas at this conference, and the guy breaks it down. He says, this is how I decide what I'm going to do. And when you hear all these great ideas all the time, like, this is how you can figure it out. So the first thing he says is, what's going to make me my first dollar first? So out of all your side hustle options, like, what's going to make you your first dollar first? Then after it passes that test, so the second thing is, what am I most likely to finish? So this might make me my first dollar first, but am I most likely to finish this as well? Is this something I can finish?
Do those need to be the same thing?
What do you mean?
Like, what's going to make me my first dollar? I guess you have to ship it to make that first dollar.
Yeah, it's kind of like a screening process. Like, it's like the first question, second question, and if at any point they kind of flunk out, then you go to the next thing.
Okay.
So first dollar first, second most likely to finish, three, what makes me happy? Like, is this going to make me happy? So it could make me my first dollar first. It could be I'm most likely to finish this, but if it's not making me happy, I don't really want to do it. So then from the fourth one, from that is, can I delegate it? So that's kind of like a next level step. So once you find something that's going to make you your first dollar first, most likely to finish, makes me happy, can I delegate it so that once I've finished that process, I can hire someone else to do it and I can start on something else?
I love it. We got to do a whole nother episode on delegation. We're opening up a whole new can of worms, but that's really good. I like this. So the first quote, if I get this right, complete the process instead of perfecting the product.
Exactly.
Okay. Very cool. What's going to make me my first dollar? What am I most likely to finish? What makes me happy? And finally, can I delegate it? That's powerful stuff.
Thanks, man. I think those tie in together kind of nicely, like, for with the whole first dollar first and completing the process. Like, it really ties in with the lean startup mentality of, like, getting an MVP out, getting, like, you know, just getting something out there. Like, even with the Productive Person book, like, the first time we put it out, we didn't think it was going to be like a big hit or anything. We just put it out and we read through it twice. Like, and that was our form of editing.
Yep.
Like, it was not really edited. Like, but then it got into the market. It was proven. It sold a ton of copies. And so then we refined it. So kind of like getting your MVP out there and letting the market tell you what they really want.
Yeah, that's awesome. The way this has been phrased to me in the past couple months is like, hey, something that's 90% done on your computer, on your hard drive, is 0% done to the rest of the world. So it's like, get it out there and see what happens.
That's awesome, man. I love that.
Very cool. Chandler, thanks so much for coming on, sharing all this stuff with Side Hustle Nation. We thank you a lot, and we'll check out theproductiveperson.com, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Nick. Really enjoyed it.
All right. We'll catch up soon. And there you have it. I tell you what, my best productivity hack so far has got to be the cold shower thing. It's super weird, but it works. Actually, it's like 100 degrees here this week, so it actually feels pretty good. So if you want to know more about how Chandler and his co-author turned The Productive Person into the best-selling productivity book on Amazon, check out their upcoming webinar. I'm going to link to that in the show notes at sidehustlenation.com/episode55. I mean, these guys are outranking Mr. GTD David Allen himself last time I looked, so you know there's going to be some good stuff in there. All right, that's all I got. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, go out there and make something happen, and I'll see you next week in episode 56. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.